And we welcome in Christy Blashford of the National Post. Jerry Agar is here, the host of the Jerry Agar Show, weekdays 9 to noon on News Talk 1010. Michael Tobe, syndicated columnist, and Amanda Galbraith from Navigator. Welcome all.
Hello. Morning.
Happy days are here.
What Doug Ford decided to do today is just take a wrecking ball to local democracy.
This is the ultimate political game changer at the 11th hour.
And we all know where the premier has lied before he became the premier. And so far, he hasn't let anybody down.
We can change the way our largest city in the country is governed in a dramatic overnight fashion without one stitch of consultation. You know, Doug Ford may think he's boss hog, but Toronto ain't Hazard County. This is garbage.
Christy, we'll let you keep singing.
Happy days are here again. The skies above are clear again. Let's sing a song of cheer again. Happy days are here again.
Shall we just stop there?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Oh, I mean, I woke up this morning and thought I was having a damp dream. It was so good. I confess to feeling, as somebody who actually worked in City Hall, like Amanda has, but I covered City Hall, was driven to despair. And that's when council, by the way, was somewhat smaller than it is now. I can think of nothing that makes me happier. I am unbelievably gleeful about it. That's how I feel, because for too long that council has grown. They waste time on all kinds of things where they really have no business. And I'll give you a good example. You know, this week was the council meeting. And of course, we had the terrible shooting on the Danforth on Sunday night. And of course, this is city government, and I expect them to have a moment's silence, which they did. But then they all trooped out to be seen on the Danforth to show leadership, blah, blah, blah. When they finally got yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, to a really significant item on their agenda, which was the Auditor General's report showing that there is perhaps fraud and certainly gross negligence on the part of city departments in inspecting city owned buildings to make sure they're safe and comply with a fire code. It was a devastating report. There was, I think, one question and no discussion. That's it. They have no sense of perspective. They can bite me.
All that said, Amanda,
and how?
But even at that, let's say we reduce it to 25. What Christy is describing doesn't necessarily go away only because we have 25 councillors.
Well, there's less of them because it's 3 minutes each to speak plus questions. Listen, I think everyone would agree that municipal government can work more efficiently and work better. I think the length of council meetings is exhausting. So I think it's really fair and makes lots of sense that the premier is taking a look at this. I think lots of folks are concerned about the process. Like, I personally am in favor of cutting, reducing the size of council. But I think throwing in this in the middle of an election campaign maybe doesn't, like, it just doesn't make a ton of sense. But I don't actually think that matters because this government has shown the fact that they're just going to proceed. So, you know, it's quite the news bomb that they dropped last night.
Well, it's technically not in the middle of the election because it hasn't happened yet.
Well, no, but
it's not like wherever the writ drops.
No, the writ
whatever.
Dropped May 1st. So it actually is, like, you can register. People have been campaigning. They've been collecting donations. Like, these are all.
I know, but you can easily shuffle. It's not like a party situation where you have nominations from the party running. If you tried to rejig the electoral districts for MPs, for instance, you'd have a real problem. But in this case, you're just running kind of as a councillor. So you run against that other guy if you have to. Like, I mean, you understand what I mean?
Yeah, well, you're running in a ward and people donate to you in that candidacy. So if that changes, like, did they get their donations back? Like, that's the point. That's all process that most people don't care about.
Right.
What they want is their government to work better and work more efficiently. And the way this is going to message is that that's what it is. I think there's a real issue with how this rolls out, because I do think to do this effectively and actually just the mechanics of it with a couple months to go is going to be really tough.
Can everybody here on the panel name their councillor?
Yes.
Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Okay.
I recently moved. I don't know if I can.
All right.
I just went through the list.
Do you think the average person can name their company?
No.
I would say not.
And I just went through the list. So, for example, and we just condensed everything down. So we took, you know, we combined 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6, 7 and 8.
Yeah.
There are about 4 counselors on council I don't recognize, and I'm paying attention.
Right.
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 So,
I think that's your point.
Yeah.
And I realistically, I really believe that this will be a big kerfuffle now. But if it was actually done and we went to 25 counselors, nobody would notice the difference.
Exactly.
It really wouldn't make that much difference, but they might actually have to do a little more work for their constituents because, quite frankly, and I know this from people who've worked at City Hall, some councillors work very hard. Some of them don't do a damn thing.
Right.
So, you know, maybe the ones that are left will have to step it up a little, but that's okay.
Well, Councillor Burnside, I think, made the point this morning that Giorgio Mammoliti proves that you can work with half the size of the council because he only shows up for half the votes.
Okay.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, and Mammoliti's for this, so that's
interesting. Well, he is, right? Michael, the whole point is here, you know, I just made a list. We've got safe injection sites, pot sales, sex ed, and the York strike, and hallway healthcare. All of those things are underway, and they campaigned on it. There was not a blessed word about this on the campaign at all.
No, there wasn't. You're right. And I agree with Amanda that the timing was imperfect. I think everyone probably on the roundtable would agree with that.
Don't care.
But that's the thing. I don't think a lot of people care, especially a lot of people who voted for Ford. I don't personally care. I think that this has been needed for years. And larger government doesn't mean more effective government. It actually means more ineffective government. We are going to save money by reducing these councillors. Yes, they can spend it on staff and whatever, and that's fine. I think actually with 25, even with the size of the city the way it is, it can be far more effective. It just means, as someone pointed out, I forget who it was, maybe it was Jerry, they're going to have to work harder, and that's the whole key.
Yeah,
and don't forget, there's also the community councils that still exist, which are,
exactly,
you know, the actual sort of real grassroots kind of thing. So, I agree with you, Michael. I think the government will work better. I think it will be more efficient. They do work hard, many of them. I've never disputed that.
They do.
And it's tedious, dull work. But it is not, you know, it's not going to change that. It just means that the ones who are elected, the 25 or whatever it is, will have a bigger area. They'll probably need more staff. That's fine. You know, it's not fundamentally anti-democratic. How is it anti-democratic to merely reduce the size of council?
Only if you're a councillor who thinks you're being reduced. But I take great exception to this idea. Dave, you shouldn't be joining in with Andrea Horvath saying, oh, they didn't campaign on this. Anybody who didn't know that Doug Ford wanted to reduce council wasn't following the news. I mean, Doug Ford has talked about it. He's written about it. He's talked about it some more. It was pretty obvious he wanted to do that. I knew that.
Yeah, but he didn't talk about it on the campaign.
Oh, so what?
We're back to the point where we get the governments we deserve. And this group, 3 months ago when we were in the middle of a campaign, said, it does matter. We get the government we deserve, especially when we say, well, I don't care. And that's what I'm hearing from people, certainly on the text message board, do it with or without process.
Yeah, but the phrase the government we deserve is not always a bad thing. Maybe we deserved a government that was going to undo a lot of the crap we got from the governments in the past.
And this is not a novel concept at all. This has been discussed for decades that we should actually lower
it. But not at the provincial level.
Okay.
We haven't. If you didn't know that
Doug Ford was going to do this, you weren't following the news.
We always knew it was a stretch goal.
Well, Kathleen increased it, but okay.
My point is that for a guy who talks about the need for consultation and all of these things, he's not consulting on this. And it's a significant change. Let's face it.
Yes, it's brilliant. And guess what? We actually have a guy in power who isn't going to, on every issue, it appears, consult himself to death. You know, the election is the consultation. Enough said.
Yeah. And government is evergreen as well. There will be many issues we're going to discuss that we're not discussing the campaign trail. This is part of life.
Let's move to his plan, as he said he would. We were going to deal with the pot sales. We're told now that the announcement will come Tuesday, that they will outline the plan to privatize legal cannabis sales. Michael, idea here is to take it away from the province LCBO
right.
model, but the province would still oversee the distribution of it.
Right, and that's the way it should have been in the first place. I mean, it's not surprising that when the Liberals initially proposed it, they wanted to put it in the hands of the LCBO with the stupid OCS model and that bloody logo that cost so much money in the end, which was just an O, a C, and an S in a box. Who the hell cares? But look, I think this is great. If you truly believe, and as I think a lot of the listeners do, in the free market, you want the private sector to be involved in this to actually create a competitive environment, different sorts of price levels, so that the government doesn't have control of this. The government should not be involved in many things, including, by the way, the liquor business. They definitely shouldn't be involved in pot.
So I just suggest to you that that's the writing's on the wall for LCBO, Jerry?
Well, not immediately. I think it'll be very difficult to tear the LCBO apart, but it would be, I think, an opportunity here to show maybe a few years down the road if everything's going fine. The only age-related restricted product for sale exclusively by the government in this province is liquor. Mm-hmm. So if lottery tickets and cigarettes and other things can be sold by the private sector, why can't alcohol? It's a dumb concept right off the top. So this is an opportunity to prove it.
Amanda, we get into, and I think somebody mentioned it earlier this morning, that the possibility, the likelihood that municipalities will want to weigh in on this in terms of bylaws and the hows and the wherefores and where these things mm-hmm. are located. So this is going to be a little bit more complicated than just saying, here you go. We blame the Trudeau government for kicking it down the road to the provinces. The provinces are going to do the same thing with municipalities.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is going to be, and there should be, like regulations on where you're supposed to go, how close they are to like schools and that kind of stuff. But generally, I'll say like kids are going to get access to pot in high schools and wherever they do already. So the idea that a government monopoly should deliver this is ridiculous. I think the municipalities should definitely have a say in where these pop up in their cities. Because, for example, when they were just coming up willy-nilly, we had like 8 or 9 to a block, which is pretty nuts. But I applaud this. I think this is, once again, like, frankly, this government has been hitting out of the park for me for the first
What's wrong with 8 or 9 to a block? Doesn't Tim's do that?
Yes.
And Starbucks.
Starbucks, too.
They do. I think the issue at the time was, I think, you know, there's lots of wonderful companies out there, like I think that are very professional that could run these. Some of the things that were running the dispensaries were a little questionable. I think we all agree. There were some organized crime elements to it.
Sure.
So if it's properly run, the private sector can do a much better job than the government, and I think we will see that happen.
Christy, what do you think of the guy in Alberta who decided that he was just going to change his identity on his birth certificate from male to female, and was allowed to do so just so he could save $1,100 on his auto insurance?
I absolutely love that, too. I am a bad person, I know, but I love it. If gender is what you feel and what you want it to be, then more power to you. If you want to get a better rate as a woman, do it.
He's only a woman so long as he's cutting the check for his insurance
when
company.
When he's driving
exactly.
As Robert Turner said, though, the insurance companies already have your nuts in a vise, as it were, so you might as well go the whole Monty.
All right, well, we'll leave it at that.
No, look, you can't have it both ways on this. If everybody can just decide what their gender is for no reason given, then this is a winner.
Quite frankly, this is fraud. There's no question about it.
Of course it is.
He self-identifies as female when he's driving.
I get it. That's been the theme, so we don't care. Okay, I get it. You guys win, I lose, I get it.
Yay!
Okay. Coming up after the